Hello, everyone, and welcome to a particularly happy edition of the Tragic Rugby League Report for tonight. As we record this episode, we're coming off of our Tragics Rugby League treble, where all three of our teams, the Bunnies, the Titans, and the Tigers, have all recorded Ws for the round in the first time this season. But most importantly, the Tigers have recorded a W. So as you can imagine, Zach's not here. Rutkin, I'm very happy.
You are very happy. It was very nice to see you witness that victory, Declan, and see how nervous you were. For anyone who doesn't know, Declan, he's gone through it a bit over the last 10 years following this team, and to see his hands were trembling after the game, like the sheer emotion that this man felt, it was very nice to see.
Yeah, I was sitting next to like our mate Henson and his girlfriend, and I think Riley was a little bit worried as to like how I would react if we ended up losing the game, because it really did go down to like the last play, didn't it? And I do wonder how I would have taken it if they managed to lose.
Yeah, I don't think you would have reacted very well, but that would have been entirely necessary. That was it would have taken an absolute miracle for the Tigers to throw that, but they've thrown games in that position before, and I was only when Brooks kicked the ball dead was I confident that you guys had won it.
And then before that, we went out to Brookville Oval to watch your guys play the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles. What's your reaction from that game? Just now that it's been a few days.
I'm pretty happy with it. I think although Turbo doesn't look 100% fit at the moment, I think just his mere presence on the field opens up a lot of opportunities for Manly. So him not being there, I think, really hurt their attack. But it was good for a Titans team to come back and prove a point to themselves. So I was really happy with that in the wet weather. But yeah, when was the last time the Titans and the Tigers won in the same week?
Well, it would have been the last time the Tigers won was, I think it was around 20 against the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't think we won that week.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like Zach is just so spoiled that the Bunnies are a good team. Like, every week they usually win.
I don't think Bunny supporters realize just how easy they get off in general. It's like, oh, we're just always good.
Yeah. And that's actually a really good transition into what we're going to be talking about next, because obviously we didn't have an episode last week because it was Anzac Day, but Jack Whiten, all the speculation is over. He will officially be going to the Bunnies as of 2024 on, I believe, a 4-year deal at 2027 to play center. So this is very interesting to me, Rutkin, because I think it kind of captures a lot of different kind of topics within this one signing. But first of all, from a Bunnies perspective, how do you feel about this signing?
It's pretty good. It's a handy player to have playing in the centers for, isn't it? He's very talented. He is heading towards the back end of his career, and it's I suppose as he's now passing 30, he's into his 30s now. He's happy to just play in the centers and not necessarily have his hands on the ball as much. He's a really good defender, and he's obviously going to push them into that premiership bracket. Like they'll probably be the favourites to win the comp next season, I'm assuming.
If they don't win it this year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've got them to win the comp this year as well. It is pretty annoying. But yeah, if you're a Souths fan, I can't imagine you not being happy with this. I wonder, do you reckon he will play some games at fullback if Latrell, you know, is playing Origin or something like that? Do you reckon he will?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He'll play all around because injuries happen. Cody Walker is not exactly a young player either. So you can imagine there could be some opportunity for him to play six as well when Cody's not playing. But I think just imagine that left side, because, you know, Campbell Graham, he plays predominantly on the right side at centre. So you'd imagine Whiten would slip into where Isaiah Tass is playing at the moment. And that's just a lethal combination, isn't it? Because, you know, you've got like the Trell and Cody who are just so good with their hands. But then you've got someone like Jack Whiten, who literally is a 5'8 as well with his skill level. And I think Alex Johnson is just going to score a lot of tries next year down that left side.
Yeah. From the perspective outside of the from the Bunnies, though, do you find it a little bit irritating him going there? Are we all just jealous because we didn't get Jack Whiten at our club?
Well, to be honest, I don't really have a horse in this race, because I don't think Tigers were really ever And it, Tim Sheens came out pretty early and said that they weren't really linked to Jack Whedon. So I'm just going to take him on his word that we weren't. I do, however, kind of feel a little bit bad for the Dolphins because, you know, at the start of the season or before the season started, when they were really struggling with the recruitment, they hadn't really played any games yet. So it was a little bit of an unknown for players to come. So you kind of understood why a lot of the marquee players like Kalen Ponga and Cameron Munster didn't really want to commit because, like, they didn't really know what they were getting themselves into. But I thought that might have changed when they actually started playing and showing that they're like a really good culture, a really gritty team. And I thought Whedon would have been a really good player in that system at 5'8". Just really tough, uncompromising, because that's just how the Dolphins have played. And yes, they've lost some games. You know, they haven't been perfect, but they've been a lot better than people have thought. And I think that he would have been perfect for that. And I always thought that the argument for the Tigers recruitment was, like, we didn't really recruit successfully because we were a bit of a basket case off the field and we had all these different issues. But you can't really use that argument for the Dolphins because they're so new and they've kind of done everything right so far. But and they have a lot of money they could have paid him for his preferred position under Wayne Bennett, a great coach, and under Christian Wolfe, who's also a great coach from the Super League. But they still couldn't get him. So, you know, they check all the boxes, but they still haven't really managed to land a marquee signing. So I feel really bad for them because, you know, as a fellow struggling club, it is difficult to see, you know, a Dalian caliber player, someone who has won the Dalian medal, a Clive Churchill medal winner, going from a team that's not in the top eight right now to a top four contender. And it kind of just gives you that you know, perspective that the talent pool at the moment isn't really balanced. It's more skewed towards the top end of the league. Do you agree with that?
I completely agree with that. Yeah. And it is frustrating. I do see what you're saying about the Dolphins. I'm not sure how linked they were to him, like if he was considering going there or not, but it's kind of not this one in particular, but just, it's a combination of every single player that hasn't gone to the Dolphins, which I still find interesting. I'm not sure what will have to happen for people to want to go there. I wonder if it's a location thing, if it's not a particularly big draw card for people to go to Redcliffe. I personally hadn't heard of it until it was linked with the Dolphins, but I am from Sydney, as is Jack Whiten.
Well, he's from Orange, I think. So he's
he's a country boy, but yeah, I don't know. I think there's been a lot of talk about what can be done differently because of the freedom of players to sign with the top clubs if they want to on less money. Did you have a look at that thing that I sent you, the Phil Gould talking about?
I did actually, yeah. It was very interesting.
What do you think?
So for anyone that didn't see it, I think it was on 100% Footy. I think Phil Gould basically said that, because obviously he wears a few different hats. He's been a player, he's been a coach, he's been an administrator, and he's been in the media. So he kind of has a kind of wide understanding of this issue. And he said, essentially, I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, that if a player wants to leave their club to sign with another club, then they should go into some form of a draft. And he didn't really detail or go into any great detail about what he thought the draft would look like. But so, for example, someone like Jack Whedon, if he wanted to leave Canberra, he wouldn't really have a choice in where he wanted to go. He would go to the highest bidder. I'm not sure if that's exactly what Phil Gould meant, because it was only a 10-minute video and Paul Gallen was kind of giving his perspective as well. And it wasn't really an in-depth analysis of what a player agent draft would look like, but essentially that's what it was. It's a player agent draft. So if anyone didn't want to re-sign with their club, they would then go into a draft where I assume like it would go on like money order in terms of who got them. So for example, if the Dolphins offered them more money, they would automatically get Jack Whedon. Does that make sense? Is that what you took away from it as well?
That's what I understood as to what Gould meant, yes, with Gal kind of speaking ooga booga in between. I actually sort of do think I agree with Paul Gallen's opinion. However, it was annoying that Gallen wasn't able to say what he was thinking.
I think it was really interesting because, you know, you've got Paul Gallen who just sees things from the perspective of a player, and that's fair enough and everything. And, you know, as a player, you wouldn't be very keen on, you know, not having a choice of where you want to go. Because right now, players can basically like do what they want. Because, you know, if they agitate enough, they can get out of a contract and get an upgrade, like mid-season sometimes if they want to. And they can sign like pretty much 12 months before the season is over for the team they're already at for a new contract. So that's all well and good for them. That's great for them from their perspective. But I just think in terms of fans and clubs, it's just not ideal, because I think Phil Gould said, like, if you want to be good, you need to sign players like 12 months, 18 months out of in advance. Because like, look at the Tigers. They signed Isaiah Papali'i and Api Korsau, you know, at the end of 2020. No, sorry, at the end, like just before Christmas 2021. And then they didn't really play for us until 2023. That's a huge window. There must be something like a, like an NBA transfer window or free agency window where it's just all kept into like one shortened period of time. I think that would work a lot better.
What's your issue with the year of them being at the Tigers when they're of them remaining at their clubs before coming to the Tigers?
Like, it's just a, it's just an awkward situation because like because the fans know they're leaving, so they're less invested in them. Some of the players, not all of the players, are kind of already mentally checked out anyway, and the club that has signed them wants them there. So like, is anyone really happy? Because unless you're going for a premiership, which, you know, it does happen because the Eels would have kept Papali'i, but they wanted to because, you know, they were pushing for a premiership. But I just feel that no one's really happy except the players and the player agents. And I just think that all this like media speculation, yes, I grant it won't go away because the media is still going to write about these stories. But I just look at NBA free agency and there's just like a real snappiness about it. It's just really quick and smooth. And it just doesn't seem to drag on. Like, there would never be a Mitchell Moses situation under an NBA free agency, because he would just like sign, like, because most NBA players, they, like, although they do negotiate before for the free agency, like, it's just such a quick deal. What do you reckon as an NBA fan?
Well, I did agree. I do agree with what Phil Gould says about how specific. I know we're not talking about the draft yet, but the it's not set up in Australia to do it that way. So it depends on exactly what you mean when it comes to the free agency. So you're saying, say, for example, Mitch Moses decides halfway through the year on his four-year deal that he doesn't want to be at Power anymore. Can he now choose to go to a different club?
No. So what I'm saying is, so say, for example, Mitchell Moses was coming off contract at the end of 2023. I'm saying that he has until... he can only sign a contract with another NRL club. He can re-sign with Parramatta whenever he wants, but he can only sign a contract with another NRL club after the grand final. So until...
yes.
That's like the period of free agency, if that makes sense.
Yes, so completely. I'm completely with you now. Sorry, I was a little confused before. Yes, I completely agree. And it just makes it a tighter thing and it makes everyone look forward to when it's going to happen. Because as a fan, it's actually quite an anxiety-inducing time when it's all being thrown up, who's going where. And, yeah, I agree that that's entirely when it should be.
Yeah, and then it also, it will encourage players to stay at the clubs they're at as well, because, like, if you can sign a contract extension, like, whenever you want at a club like Parramatta for Mitchell Moses, then there's more of an incentive to do that. So, like, it'll probably encourage players to... clubs to develop their own talent even more in that regard, because like they do have an advantage if they can get it done before free agency. And then, as you said before, yeah, if you wanted to leave, I'm not sure. I haven't really thought about it in much great detail, but I do think that perhaps a draft for some sort of level of player, maybe not a player like Jack Whiting, because he is a very senior player, but maybe those kind of younger players, because you know how... like you have players on like rookie deals in the NBA where like their contract value is kind of based on how many games they've played. Maybe you could use that kind of same model for players in a transfer system. Like if you haven't played a certain amount of games and you want to leave your club, then you do go into a draft. But once you've hit that kind of veteran status, you can choose where you want to go in free agency, if that makes sense.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't know if it's going to work in terms of doing the draft in any sort of sense. It'd take a long time to get it right. Like there would be a lot of trial and error with it. Going back to what Gould said, I do agree that it's the systems aren't set up with it in Australia for it to work currently.
Well, that's it, like, because you kind of talked about an external draft where, like, external third parties develop players, like, for example, the college system in America. And that's why that works, because NBA teams don't develop players. And obviously, he even said that that wouldn't really work in Australia because the clubs develop the talent. But I just think that they have to do something, to be honest, because I don't know, like, obviously, the Titans have had a little bit of success with signing players recently, but, you know, historically, you would have seen that it is kind of tough with the, you know, the old DC drama all those years ago, that is really tough for, like, struggling clubs to get these top-end talents.
Absolutely. And then, like, you develop one, and then they just go to the Souths or the Roosters, you know, it's, it is really frustrating.
Obviously, we'll probably talk about this when Zach comes back, because, you know, I feel like it's important to get the perspective of, you know, someone that the system is working for quite well at the moment.
Imagine if Whiten went to the Roosters, he would be so angry.
Well, that was it. Yeah, that was the example I was going to make. And it's actually so funny because last time Zach was on the pod, we actually even joked about him going to South Sydney, like, as a joke. It hadn't even broke yet. And it broke literally the day after.
That's so funny.
Because Zach said, like, oh, yeah, he would have to take, like, he'd have to only be on 500K. And now, all of a sudden, South have found, you know, 850K in the salary cap to sign him. And I agree with you. I think if it was the Roosters, I think Zach would have fire in his eyes.
He absolutely would. Mm. Something that I do think is a little funny as well that I must mention, I completely agree with Wendell Saylor roasting the Raiders, who are going like, oh, this is so unfair, like, they've taken our marquee player. And it's like, you guys tried to take David Fifita. You guys literally tried to do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know, I feel like lodging an official complaint to the NRL, unless they've got like a silver bullet where they can prove something dodgy is going on, which I don't think there is, or I don't really know, unless Jack Whiting does that, like a no limit boxing event for like $1 million or something. I don't know if we'll see that, but it is a little bit weird, isn't it? And as you said before, like, it's not like the Raiders didn't try and poach for Fifita, so it's interesting, isn't it? But just on the Raiders real quick, so like, they're in a little bit of a strife, aren't they? Because like, they wouldn't have been banking on losing Whiting, and there's not really a clear replacement, is there?
No, not at all. They're going to be in struggle street for a little while, I reckon, the Raiders. I think they're potentially going to be the new Bulldogs of the next few seasons.
Like, they have some really good young players coming through. Like, Chevy Stewart, he's a great young fullback. They already have Xavier Savage, who's a great young fullback as well. But I think that, yeah, there's just not that, like, core group of first-grade players that were there when they made the 2019 Grand Final. You just thought that they were going to be really good for a really long time. So it's interesting, isn't it? I know they had a good win against the Dolphins, and they've actually won three in a row, sneakily.
Have they actually?
Well, yeah, I heard that on the radio. Let me just fact check that.
So they won in the last four games.
They beat the Dolphins. They had the bye, sorry. And then they beat the Dragons. And then they beat the Broncos. Yeah, so they are on a three-game win streak. So, yeah. Like, obviously, it's, you know, it's not like we're saying they're like the West Tigers or anything like that. But, yes, it's a little bit of a question mark, isn't it? And you just saw like Ricky Stewart's reaction in the press conference. I really don't know how I'd feel about that if I was a Raiders fan. What was your reaction to that whole saga?
To Ricky Stewart, how angry he was about it?
No, in the press conference. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, so basically, like, a journalist asked him about Jack Whiting, and he literally like went into tears about how sad he was gonna, like, how sad he was to lose Jack Whiting. And when I say he was in tears, like, he was literally holding back, trying not to cry.
Dear.
Yeah. Honestly.
I mean, it's sweet that he's showing emotion, but, like, at the same time, it's, yeah, it just sort of is what it is. Jack Whiting has to look after himself, and he wants to win a comp, and he thinks it makes sense. People that want to win a comp, they're going to go to the better teams. It's how it works. It's just a matter of Raiders needed to.
Yeah, it's really hard to, like, blame individuals in this situation or clubs. I think my issue with it is more of a systematic issue, like a macro view of the whole transfer system and how it's probably not like serving the game fairly. But yeah, you can't really be mad at someone like Jack Wyden, I suppose, in this situation. And he's really not even taking that much of a pay cut as well, which is good for him, I suppose.
What's he on at the Rabbitohs?
So it's like reportedly a back-ended deal where it starts at 800. This is just all like rumors. So take it with a grain of salt. But I think it's around about 850k to start, and then like it like goes up, and by the end of it, he's on like 950k a year.
Yeah, wow.
So yeah, so like I think they're probably banking on like Cody Walker retiring at some point, so like he could absorb that money.
And then what? They've just got 900k spent on a center.
Well, I don't know. That's the thing about Wyden, though. Like, even like he could play for Sex as well. Like, he's just got that utility. So, like, maybe he could replace like Walker if he retired in two seasons. So you've just got that versatility now, don't you?
Yeah, we'll have to see. I think this is like a big play for the Rabbitohs to win in the next year. Because if they don't win a comp from this is going to be a complete dud. Like, this is going to screw them over. So there is a bit of pressure on the Rabbitohs with this signing. They have to win a comp.
Yeah, this is chips in, isn't it? They put all the chips on the table. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. They could win the comp this year as well. That'd be interesting to see how Jack Wyden reacted to that. But yeah, good on him, I suppose. I'm happy. I haven't actually talked to Zach that much about it. So I'll be really interested to get his perspective when he comes on next week, hopefully.
Very interesting to hear what he has to say.
All right, moving on to another playmaker under the spotlight, Sam Walker, famously dropped for the Anzac Tests against the Dragons, where the Roosters went for a combination of Kiri and Joseph Manu in the halves combo. He hasn't been named again this week. There's a lot of speculation. It started just when he got dropped. I think the Sydney Morning Herald reported that his family wasn't happy with Cooper Cronk's halves mentoring and how the Roosters were kind of developing him. And it's really strange because you would think that he would, if it was just going to be like a short-term thing, I don't know, there wouldn't be all this like media speculation, but part of me thinks that like all this media noise, it might just be like for nothing. But it's strange that he's still like, I don't know, like obviously it's only been 1 week, so it's probably not that strange, I suppose. And by all reports, he didn't really play that well in New South Wales Cup. But are you surprised that he is out of the team at the moment?
I'm not surprised that he's out of the team at the moment. I don't think that him and Kiri are a good combination together. And I think that if you had to drop one of the two of them at the moment, it would be Walker. I've heard and I've sensed, more so that I've sensed, that he has a little bit of an attitude problem. He seems to be quite cocky, but it's really funny when the media's had a bit of a slow news week and there hasn't been much drama, they always sort of up it. Like, instead of Sam Walker not selected, it's Sam Walker dropped or Sam Walker dumped from the starting 17. They make it as dramatic as possible. I don't think he's going anywhere. I can't see I think the Roosters see the long-term value in him. I think being dropped to work on your game is often probably good to get you out of the spotlight for a little bit. And I think that's going to be good for him as a player. What are your thoughts?
It's really tough to see him to leave the Roosters, just purely because Luke Keery signed for this year and next year, and then there's every chance that he could retire. So the Roosters are never going to let go of someone like Sam Walker at the age he's at, just to then have Luke Keery retire in 2025. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, they're too smart for that. And they put in a lot of time into his development. Like, he's only 20 years old, but he's been playing consistent first grade now for 2.5 seasons. So it just feels like they've spent all this time developing him. And this is the point where he starts to really break into a first grader, because he started to kind of have those reps under his belt. So it just seems really weird to put all that time and effort into him only to then let him go now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. But one thing we know about the Roosters is that they are ruthless. If they think that you're not part of their long-term plans, then they will, you know, send you to the Bulldogs.
So we both clearly think that he'll remain with the Roosters. We were talking briefly before the pod about potential like suitors for him, specifically in Queensland, because I think he'll stay with the Roosters, but if he does leave, I do imagine that he will go to Queensland. Where do you think would suit him in Queensland? What team specifically? Because I said in the podcast that I don't think that he would suit the Titans at all.
I reckon he would be really good for the Titans, but the Titans have an abundance of Spain players at the moment. So you would imagine that they would have to release one or two of their halves. So like you would imagine that, you know, Sexton, he would be gone because, you know, they've just signed another halfback. And then like, what do you do? Like, who do you partner Walker with? Do you put four in the kind of experience next to him, or do you partner him with Tanner Boyd as well? Like, what do you do? And then you've also got Thomas Weaver as well playing 5'8". So, like, I feel like they could definitely use someone like Sam Walker because he's a talent, he's a gun. But I just don't see the roster spot coming up unless they were just really confident that this was their guy and they were willing to let a few other guys walk. What do you reckon as a Titans fan?
It's really hard to say just because we've got so many like prospects that could turn out but aren't guaranteed to going to be comp winners. So it's just difficult because Sam Walker's kind of in, I know you really rate him, but Sam Walker's sort of in that same light as well. I also imagine he wouldn't come particularly cheap.
No, yeah, you'd imagine that you would have to pay him like quite well.
Oh, I could so just see him in a Broncos jersey. I really could.
But I don't know. I just feel that like they've got Ezra Mann, like he has a Broncos junior, so that kind of like gives credence to that theory. But I just feel like Reynolds is their best player at the moment. And I know he's old, but he's so valuable to what they're trying to do right now. And like they could, I know they've like had a loss, pretty bad loss, but they could still win the comp this year. And like, you know, you need someone like Adam Reynolds in the team, probably more than you need Sam Walker at the moment. And then I could see him going to the Queensland Cowboys.
Oh, really?
Really, because like I feel like Chad Townsend, he's kind of hit a wall with like what he can do for them in that team, because I think last year it worked really well because like their attention to detail and their effort plays in attack and defense were just so good that I think they managed to score a lot of tries off the back of that. But now that's not necessarily the case. I feel like a big reason why they've struggled is because Dearden and Townsend have struggled creatively with their creativity and attack.
Yeah. So,
like you could add, if you replace someone like Chad Townsend with Sam Walker, I think that could be a really good fit because, you know, you've automatically got that kind of flair. And then someone like Dearden takes up the kind of more like traditional halfback play. So I could see that. But, you know, the thing about the Cowboys is, you know, like, you know, Brisbane from, you know, to Townsville, it's very far. Like you may as well be in another state. So if you wanted to move back to the Gold Coast, I mean, not the Gold Coast, to like Queensland, you would imagine it would be in that kind of Brisbane Gold Coast area. So, and then that just leaves the Dolphins, doesn't it? Who don't have a marquee player yet, who I would imagine would be really interested in someone like Sam Walker.
Yeah, I think most teams would have an interest in acquiring his talents, but I'm not convinced on him yet. I know he's got a high ceiling, but I'm still not convinced of how high his potential truly is.
All right, so you're his player manager, and the Roosters have just said you can walk out of your contract. You're not going to get into the first grade team. What Queensland team would you be telling him that he should sign for, that's the best fit for him?
Honestly, I would tell him to sign with the it's hard. It's a flip of the coin between the Dolphins and the Broncos. Probably the Dolphins, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting one because they've got Katoa as well as a really young half. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird because like you don't necessarily think that Sam Walker would fit into that like kind of like tough grit and grind mode that someone like Jack Wayne would have been perfect for. Like he's more of a flashy kind of player becomes like kind of like the big play. So I'm not sure I could see him in a Dolphins jersey particularly, but like in terms of salary cap, they make the most sense because they have like a lot of it and they don't have a marquee player yet. So yeah, I think the Dolphins and I could, you know, maybe the Titans as well, because I don't think they're very high. But I think they, like, if push comes to shove, I'm not sure they're married to the idea of Tanner Boyd at seven, and Kieran Ford is a veteran player. Toby Sexton isn't playing, like, he's playing reserve grade, and Tom Weaver's also playing Q Cup. So I could see them getting in the mix, to be honest.
Just dumping all of them and going, come here. He does suit the style over substance.
Sort of, yeah, but like, don't you reckon? Like, I feel like you've got a lot of options, but I don't really see that the Titans are married to any particular option at the moment besides Brimson at fullback.
Yeah, and even then, like, there's constant conversation about whether or not Campbell should go back there as well. So our spine's sort of a ginormous mess at the moment. But yeah, it is interesting. I do think he'll remain with the Roosters, though.
Yeah, me too. Like, they just don't really make decisions like this and get it wrong. So I feel like he's going to stay with the Roosters for sure. But stranger definitely. Things have happened. And we don't know what we're talking about either, disclaimer.
Yeah, no idea. No clue whatsoever. So, Declan, I have to ask, as a Tigers fan, I do want to hear a bit of a debrief on the Tigers-Panthers game. I want to hear your analysis as to what you thought of the game as a whole, trying to be as objective as possible.
Well, obviously for like a more in-depth analysis, highly recommend listening to the West Tigers podcast, where we pretty much spend an entire hour talking about the game. But just to keep it tight, I reckon that it was a great performance by the Tigers for sure. And I think Tim Sheens kind of like summed it up the best when he said that we didn't really do anything to deserve to lose the game. If that makes sense. Because yes, Penrith definitely blew some chances. They dropped two balls over the line, which is very un-Penrith. But I think the wet was the great equalizer in terms of an upset, because the entire season we've dominated teams in the stats in terms of our yardage. Like, our forward pack's actually played really, really well. It's been when we've got into the red zone and attack that we've really struggled and we haven't been able to score points. But when it rains, that kind of becomes less important because, you know, it's much harder to move the ball around. So it kind of compresses everything to the middle of the field. And I really think that's where we got the lollies against Penrith, because we were just smashing them up the middle. I think if you look at the stats from our forwards, like, most of them ran for over 100 meters, which, like, usually you have like, you know, three or four in a normal game that run for over that amount. But to have like most of them do it, I think it shows just how much it was played in the middle of the field, which was good to see. So I think the wet weather kind of took the emphasis off like us needing to score, because we've had the yips in that regard for quite a few weeks now, if not for the entire season. And I just think we defended like much better this week as well. Because if you look at, I know we a lot of the time it's been talked about our attack, which is fair enough as well, because everyone kind of thought we'd be a good attacking team going into the season, but the defense hasn't been up to scratch either. And I feel like if I was to sum it up, I think our defense was fantastic in one of the game, and our attack was good enough not to lose it for us, if that makes sense. Because we should have gotten a third try just to seal it, but we can never really get that third try, which is why Penrith managed to the very, very end nearly steal the game. And if it wasn't for a Tyrone Peachy penalty, I reckon they might have scored at the end. So it was just such an interesting game. I think we definitely had a little bit of luck to go away. Nathan Cleary, you know, it was a good tackle from Jurien Bula, but I think 9 times out of 10 he slides and he scores that try, and then it's not looking good from there, is it? But he was fantastic. I think I just want to single him out. He was just so reliable under the high ball against Nathan Cleary, the best player in the comp. In wet conditions, I just think that he could be a superstar in the making, hopefully. What did you think of the game? Because obviously you were watching it with me.
I was watching a few tables over. I got it up on my phone. I didn't want to sit anywhere near you during that game. I was just absolutely terrified of what could have happened. I think you guys played to the conditions perfectly. I think you guys fought and scrapped like your lives depended on it. And every single player in the Tigers 17 wanted it. Yeah, I think Buller is very much a potential star in the making. I've really liked not even what I just saw this week, but in the, was it the previous week, or he's been playing 2 or 3 weeks now.
Yeah, so he's debuted against Manly.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So 2 weeks in, I think he's looked really solid, and it's good. Yeah, a lot of really good signs there. It was nice to see Noffa. I know you've been hot and cold on Noffa, but it was nice to see him hit his 100th.
Mm.
Still don't know about Brent Naden. That guy just does some really silly things. And yeah, Brooks played out of his skin. Like, he had an absolute incredible game. Mm. I was not expecting that at all. So, and Appy as well. Like, when your spine was playing that half, I think often in wet weather games like that, they say it comes down to whichever team has the classier nine usually can win the game. It's obviously not as simple as that, but I think Coruscant was miles better than Mitch Kenny.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I think that was one of the biggest wins for the Tigers in the last 10 years, and I think that it's going to kickstart your season, and I think there's going to be a few more wins to come in the coming weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, Luke Brooks, you know, I'm obviously very tough on him. Most weeks, I won't hide from that. But it was still strange, because if you thought that Luke Brooks was going to impact a game, you'd imagine it was through his running, because that is kind of what he tends to be known for when he does play well. But it was honestly his kicking game, getting his territory, like 2 40-20s. Like, someone needed a drug test that did, like, after the game, because he was playing absolutely out of his skin. So full credit to him. I'm really hoping that he plays like that this week against the Dragons on a try track. But yeah, full credit to him. Appy was just the best player on the field, I reckon, honestly.
Yeah, Appy was. Appy was my man of the match.
I think Penrith, it just showed just how much Penrith missed him as well, because they haven't really been able to fill that hooker spot as well as they would have liked, because, you know, Mitch Kenny, Sonny Luke, they are good players, but, like, I feel like if you combine them, that would be Appy in terms of, like, Mitch Kenny's kind of, I don't know, like, they just seem like they're trying to use two players to fill the role of one player that they had in Appy last year. Is that fair?
100%. It's definitely where they've been missing the most. I know they've missed Kikau, but yeah, it's definitely been like having minus two players, having Coruscant leave.
Mm. Now, are you worried about Penrith, or do you reckon this is just a mid-season blip?
Well, they just definitely don't look the same team, and like, everyone has it out for them, and they had a lot of World Cup players. I don't think they're going to win the comp this year. Wouldn't surprise me if they did, but they're literally 4 from 4 at the moment. 4 wins, 4 losses. If you looked at the team like the last year, no one could touch them at all. But I think they're fatigued. I think they're not going to win it a third time. It's proven time and time again how hard it is to go back to back to back in this comp, and when you're the team that's 1-2 in a row, everyone is bringing their A game when they verse you every week. So they're definitely not getting it off easy this season.
Yeah, I think James Graham, as he often does, sums it up really well, because the last two seasons, like, Penrith were just so far ahead of everyone else that it didn't really matter. So as long as they played their best, they would win no matter what, because they were just so good. But losing Appy and losing Course out and Kick out, I think it's meant that they can play their best, but not necessarily beat other teams, if that makes sense. So they're still really, really good, but they're just closer to the pack than they were the last two seasons. Because, like, when you think about it, they beat the Knights in Golden Point, which could have went either way if it wasn't for a freakish Nathan Cleary field goal. They lost to the Bunnies, you know, a contending team. So, you know, you don't really bat an eyelid too much about that, because they could have easily won that game as well. And then they lose to the Wooden Spooners and the Tigers. So, yeah, I think that it's interesting, because I just looked at someone like Jerome Luai, and he looked like he was playing the conditions as if it was 30 degrees and not, like, ringing wet. So I just think they need to kind of readjust to the way they play, because they don't really have those strike players like Kikau and Appy Coruscant anymore. I just feel like they kind of need to get more out of players like Luai in particular, if that makes sense. And obviously Fisher Harris wasn't playing. He's back this week, and he's absolutely huge for them. So, and Liam Martin to come back as well. So, yeah, I probably wouldn't be panicking too much until we get them back and we kind of see what a fully fit Penrith team looks like.
I know it's a bit early for Origin talk, but at the moment, would you be getting Luai in a Blues jersey this year?
Oh, no, definitely not. He just hasn't played well, has he? I mean,
no.
I mean, I wouldn't. I'd put him in, like, you know, maybe if they thought, like, put him as, like, 18th or 19th man. Because, like, he's proven he can play well in the arena, but Haynes is one of the best players in the comp at the moment. Mm. So I would be picking Haynes for sure. And, yeah, I just think that losing Kekau has really kind of limited what Luai can do, because Kekau created so much space on that edge just purely by being there, because you would have to commit two defenders to him. So that, therefore, like, freed up Luai, Tego, and Toto. But now he's not there, and you can kind of see the kind of struggle to readjust into that, I reckon. But, you know, he's still a great player, so I'm sure he'll just, like, grow his game to the point where he needs to, with the lack of a back row like that.
Yeah, I agree.
So, moving on from that, though, thanks for getting me to talk about that. I wasn't sure if I'd managed to go on my little pedestal and brag about the Tigers who are going to go on now to make the top eight. But speaking of another team that has had a bit of an interesting season, well, the team we saw on Saturday night at Brookfield Oval, the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles, been a bit of a strange week for them, hasn't it? A little bit of a turmoil. And long story short, I think all the turmoil kind of, like, obviously they played really badly against the Titans. Like, they weren't at their best. Tom Trbojevic, he's named to play this week. He didn't play last week. He's obviously carrying some sort of injury. But that's not really the kind of crux of the controversy at the moment. The controversy is their star 5'8", Josh Schuster, got on a punch on with another player during the weekend as a kind of side distraction. But there's a lot of noise coming out of Manly at the moment that they're not happy with his work ethic and his playing weight at the moment. Apparently, DC came out and said he challenged Schuster to really take control of his career and get back in shape. So obviously there's a lot of going on in the background. It's been reported that he's on 800K a year, and he's also been put on a 4 or 5 week, like where he's been stood down from the team to kind of recondition himself for the rest of the season. What is your reaction to all of this? Because it's a lot to take in.
I think the media sometimes find certain players that they want to pick on more. Mm. I think there is an element of this has been blown out of proportion. I'm sure he is a little bit of a douche. He does seem, from a lot of the Manly Insta, that he's a bit of a pelican. But for them to be unhappy with his, like, I don't know. I thought that he'd worked really hard, and the one game that he played, like, I thought he looked really good. And since then, he hasn't been back in the halves. He came off the bench once since his injury. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on. The fact that Cherry Evans came out and spoke about it, you know, the politician that he is, it was clearly an important thing that he thought to bring it up. So,
That's the thing, because, like, I feel like there's a lot we don't know about that situation, because, as you said, we only know, like, his play on the field. And as they say, the best kind of talent is availability. I know I've just butchered that phrase, sorry. But he just hasn't been fit enough. And whether that, I know, like, last season, I thought he was a little bit harshly done by, because he did have a calf injury that really limited how much fitness he could do on the leg. But I think that the worry for Manly is that, you know, he got really fit. Apparently he lost 13 kilos in the offseason. Then he had another leg injury, and it looks like he's put a little bit of weight back on. So, like he's only 21 as well. I feel like people sometimes forget that he is a lot younger than people think he is, because he debuted when he was 18. But
yeah,
there's definitely no doubt that Manly aren't really happy with how he's going at the moment.
Yeah, the Flanagan signing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, doesn't seem to be too good.
No.
Yeah.
It just
would you take him at the Tigers?
Yes, 100% I would.
I can so see him coming to the Tigers.
Yeah. Like, obviously it's a huge gamble. Because I'm not gonna sit here and say that, you know, some of these, like, kind of training rumors and habits that he's kind of, you know, made a reputation for himself for aren't a red flag. But I just think that, like, as for a 21-year-old, you know, you can learn these habits. Cause I feel like when we were 21 years old, we didn't have you know, the strictest, you know, diet regimen, you know, yeah, in terms of like how we looked after our bodies. And then, yes, people can say that, oh, but you guys weren't professional athletes. But, you know, like, just because you're a professional athlete doesn't mean you have the maturity levels of what you need to be at to get to that level, to get the most out of your body. And like, yes, I feel like, you know, could I be making excuses because he's a great player on the field? Yes. Could he be the next Tyron Peachy that just is so talented but never really, you know, like reaches his potential? 100%. And he is on a lot of money as well. So it's a huge gamble, but I just think the Tigers just need someone with that talent, like a game breaker, circuit breaker, if that makes sense. And if we can get him in shape, he could be our best player for the next 10 years.
Yeah, damn. I have a feeling he'll come to you guys. I'm not sure what it is, but I can so see it.
Yeah. I don't know, because usually when a club leaks how much a particular player is on when they're on too much money and that they're playing up at training, it doesn't really bode well that the club wants that player there, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's on a lot of money.
And Anthony Seibold, he's come in. He probably doesn't have a lot of salary cap space, but that squad probably needs a little bit of reinvention. And we just signed the head of recruitment, Scott Fulton, who brought Schuster to Manly as well in the first place from Blacktown Feeders. So, you know, there are like a lot of little things that I think people are probably putting two and two together, whether that comes to be of anything. I haven't actually heard any solid mail that the Tigers are like dead set keen on him, but, you know, that doesn't mean it's not happening in the background.
Mm.
But just before we move on from Manly, what did you think of their performance on the weekend? Because, you know, they were coming second up to that point. So I know we're kind of making them seem like a bit of a basket case, but they've had a pretty successful start to the season so far. They're coming sixth now after that loss. But I just thought that they were so lucky to beat the Tigers because they were awful that game and they weren't much better against the Titans as well.
I think it was a little bit overplayed them being second. They had the bye, they beat Para, and Para were awful that game, and then they drew with the Knights. They should have lost that game, and they got absolutely thumped by the Panthers as well. Like, I think they have been I think there's a lot of issues there that'll surface even more as we sort of hit this third wave mark through the season. I don't think they're going to make the top eight. I mean, they could turn it around. They didn't look like they collectively gave up, like against the Titans. Like, they didn't. A lot of the tries that they left in a few around their edges, but I thought their middles stood quite strong.
Mm. I think that the worrying thing was like the lack of energy, because like you looked again at the Melbourne game, they just bullied Melbourne, which doesn't happen very often. But then, I don't know, the Manly Seagulls, when they had a lot of possession to start that game and they just couldn't score. And then the Titans just managed to counterattack and put a few like quick tries on, and they never like let go of the lead after that. And then like you kind of thought that Manly would like eventually switch on again in terms of their energy, but it just never really happened, did it?
No, it very much didn't. But I'm interested to see. I don't think they're going to have they've got a tough draw for the next few weeks. They've got Broncos followed by the Sharks, and then I think they've got the Raiders after that, and they're starting to hit some form as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough couple of weeks for the Seagulls. No Gerbo either.
No, but Tarbo is back, and I don't know. It's just a weird one because he hasn't looked right all season, has he? But he's coming back. So I feel like there's something that we don't know.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I don't know what's going on there, but it doesn't look good.
And like you kind of mentioned about it before, like the Kyle Flanagan signing, like obviously it hasn't happened yet, so we're only speculating. And, you know, Shane Flanagan is on the coaching staff, so you would imagine that's why like people are talking about it. But like, what do you reckon if they were to lose someone like Schuster and sign Kyle Flanagan? It's not a great look for them, is it?
No, not at all. There's really got to be bad stuff going on behind the scenes to justify that.
Maybe we should try and get Jordan on for like an emergency Manly podcast if they sign Kyle Flanagan.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he'd be keen?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
He'd love to.
Okay, I'll put that one in the diary.
Yeah, we can just berate him for an hour and a half. It'd be great.
Yeah, so Yeah, I feel like it was it's been a really interesting week of footy. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we go into player of the round?
Nothing in particular. Yeah, no, nothing that springs to mind.
Okay, so with that, who was your player of the round?
This is my first time ever tipping a Bulldogs player as my player of the round, but I simply have to give it to Braden Burns. I thought he was exceptional. Loved watching the grit and grind in his game with his injury. I thought he was very impressive.
Yeah, the Bulldogs, that was a good win. Very under strength, wasn't it? And they managed to pull the W against the Dragons. Just quickly on the Dragons, though, like, I just cannot believe that. We'll get to it with the tips, but they've dropped Zach Lomax and they've dropped Jacob Leto, and Moses Mbai is playing hooker. I feel like Anthony Griffin is kind of daring them to sack him, like, as quickly as possible.
Yeah, so is. Sorry, I'll just preface by saying I know this is a bit of a dark horse one because obviously Hines and Moses had the weeks that they did, but I just want to say that was a really impressive performance with an MCL to play 80 minutes and be a standout player on the field.
Yep, agreed. So my player of the round, I think that not necessarily that like he was like the best player, but I'm just been so impressed with the job he's done since he's come into first grade. I think Jareem Bulla for me, because when he was named to debut, I'd seen a lot of him playing jersey flag the season before, and I thought he could play potentially be a good first grade player, but I thought that it was going to be a really big ask for him because, you know, he's such a young player. The squad was going really, really, really badly. It's not ideal to bring in a rookie player, especially at fullback, where, you know, like a lot is thrown at you, especially if you're inexperienced. But I just think the last 2 weeks, like, it's not necessarily like the cutout passing off Luma to win the game, but it's just been his positional play and the way he's kind of defused like high kicks, like powering bombs from people like Nathan Cleary, Daly Cherems as well last week. So, you know, he's been doing it with the best of them and he just hasn't really looked at his step. So I'm really excited to see how he plays in more of a dry track. It's just so people can see his running game as well, because he hasn't put wrong in first grade.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Do you want to move on to tips?
Let's do it.
All right. So it's magic round this week. I'm a little bit sad because I remember when we went in 2018 was, and it was just such a fun time. So it always brings back those memories.
Next year, let's go. We'll go next year.
Yeah, unless tags are bad, then we shouldn't. But if they're good, we should. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. So the first Friday night game is the Bulldogs v the Raiders. Very interesting, as we kind of talked about, that both teams are coming off really good wins.
Yeah, they certainly are. It's an interesting one. I think that I'm going to have to go with the Bulldogs here.
Any particular reason why?
I don't know. I just think that they've got a little bit of grit behind them now. And I think this will be a really good game. But, yeah, I think Bulldogs are going to win. Just on the note of the Bulldogs, you see Josh Reynolds having a go at the referee the other day?
I was just literally about to bring that up. That was just so funny. It just felt like an English or a math teacher. They just hear
you. Yeah,
like,
it did. I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
And then he was like, come over here. And then he was like, go away.
What did I do?
Shit.
I don't know. It's so cringe, wasn't it? But yeah,
it was cringe overall.
It was so cringe. But I think I'm gonna have to go with the Raiders here, just purely because I think that when they play their best footy, like they've got Tappany, Papali'i, so just that middle forwards, and then Jack White, and you know, it was an emotional week for him. Savage is back as well. So I'm going to tap the Raiders for this one.
Yeah, that's fair. They're too good a team to keep struggling, the Raiders, aren't they?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And then if they don't win, I'd be scared to see Ricky Stewart in the press conference. So
For sure.
Okay. The next game, the hometown team, the Brisbane Broncos, are playing the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles. But for some reason, this is a Manly home game, which I don't understand why, because it's literally at Suncorp.
Yeah, that's dumb.
But I know the team.
So this counts as an away game for Brisbane.
Yeah, like I know that home teams get paid to take their home games to Magic Round, and I get all that. That makes sense. But like, why are the Broncos the away team? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
Yeah, because it's just a home game for them, essentially. So they get an extra home game than everyone else.
Yeah, they just would. Yeah, then the Broncos are going to win.
Yeah, I think the Broncos are going to win as well. I think Manly, I think that they've got a little bit of a rough spot coming back, at least until Turbo hits some form.
Definitely.
That's like as much as I want Chester at the Tigers, I was just looking at the Seagulls on Saturday night, and I just thought they can't really afford to let him go. They kind of need him, don't you reckon? Mm. Like it's yeah, not like, like they've got like Jones, who's like a good player and everything, but he's no Schuster. So no. They kind of need someone like that at the 5-8 position. So
yeah,
it's interesting. All right. So I assume for the first Saturday game that you're going to go with the Penrith Panthers over the Warriors, or are you going to take the Warriors here?
I'm going to, I don't see the Panthers going losing two in a row. So I think they'll come back and have a point to prove, and they'll be too strong for what up until last round had been a really impressive Warriors outfit.
Well, it would be three in a row if they lost this game. So
did they lose the week before as well?
Yeah, remember they lost to the Bunnies?
Oh, true. They did too.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that streak is going to end.
Yeah. Nathan Cleary, overrated, what can I say?
Yeah, what can I say? He's a mid-footy flyer.
Yeah, just so mad. But, all right, so yeah, I'm gonna go Panthers as well. Sharks, Dolphins?
Sharks.
Yeah.
Smash those fucking stupid Dolphins.
Yeah, I feel like Nico Hines is going to put on a clinic in this game. Like, really dry track up at Suncorp, hopefully. I've said that a lot. I hope it is actually good weather this weekend. I haven't checked. Otherwise, I'll look so silly.
Imagine if it's just terrible.
Yeah, I think I just always assume that Suncorp is just like a dry track, even when it rains.
It's looking like it's going to be pretty dry all week.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah, I reckon Nico Hines is going to play some really good footy this game, and I think the Sharks are going to win.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm tipping that too.
Yeah. Storm Bunnies. Feels like these teams just played each other not that long ago.
Yeah, I feel that too. That's happened a few times this season.
Yeah. A
few teams that have already played each other.
But yeah, I reckon the Bunnies are specialists for this game.
Yeah, you reckon they're going to win?
Yeah, I just feel like they just look like the team to beat. Like, I know that they've always been a really, really good team, but I've always thought in the back of my mind that, yes, they've been our top four team consistently, but I've always put teams like the Storm, the Roosters, and the Panthers ahead of them. But this is the first time I can genuinely say that they look like the best team in the competition.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that could change, obviously, like because this point of the season, there's plenty of room, there's plenty of time for those contending teams to kind of find form. But just now, I think the Bunnies are just, they've just got too much cohesion around them at the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
And what do you think of them? Do you see that Pappenhausen comment on the Matty John show, how he said the injury is complicated? So it doesn't sound like he's going to be back, like in the short term anyway. What was your reaction to that?
It doesn't feel like he's going to be back this season.
Yeah. It was alarming, wasn't it?
Well, but there were people talking about it being like round 10. Like, we're in round 10, and it doesn't seem like he's anywhere near coming back. So,
yeah, he didn't even want to give like a return date, did he?
Yeah, it's not. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't come back this season, and they're just kind of a withholding from saying it. But
yeah, no, I reckon you might be on the money there. All right.
We're both going Bunnies.
Yeah, we're both going Bunnies. Next game, the West Tigers feed the St. George Illawarra Dragons.
I'm going the Tigers.
Oh, I just think that I really don't want to tip the Tigers, but I just think that the Dragons just look like they're on the precipice of getting their coach sacked. Like, they just feel like they're one bad loss away from Anthony Giffen getting sacked. And I know that they have a really good team on paper, but there's just something about them that I just feel like they might put in a bad performance this game, because they were up they're really up for this, for the Anzac game. Nearly won that, could have won that. And then like the Bulldogs probably should have beaten them by more last game. So I'm going to tip the Tigers as well.
I don't understand why the Dragons have dropped Jacob Little. I think he's been one of their best this season.
Mate, he's on my fantasy team, and I don't understand it either, especially when you're playing Mbai hooker.
Yeah, it's just dumb.
Yeah, he's literally the definition of a jack of all trades, but a master of none. So,
And I actually thought Lomax was okay last week as well. I thought he had some brilliant plays. Thought last week was Lomax's best game of the season, and then he gets dropped. So I'm not sure what's happened there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a mess at the moment there.
When it wouldn't surprise me, there was a drama at training, and it's just a discipline thing.
Yeah, but I can honestly still see the Dragons winning this. I'm not confident in this tip at all, but I think I'm going to go the Tigers here.
I'm confident Tigers will win this.
All right, Roosters.
Now that you've smelt the blood, you'll want more.
Yeah, we never stop. We never stop. All right, Roosters, Cowboys. I think I'm going to go with the Roosters here. I think it looked like it was kind of back to normality a little bit against the Warriors. And the Cowboys are just struggling, aren't they?
Yeah, the Cowboys are just not the same team. I wonder if just the coaching style of Peyton has just drained a lot from this squad, because they look slightly fatigued as a team. Just don't have that same intensity.
That would be so weird. That would be so weird, isn't it? If we just absolutely thought they were going to be terrible last year. They were great. And then Todd Payton gets re-signed on like a 5-year coaching contract, and then they go back to sucking.
You
couldn't pay this up, could you?
No, you couldn't. But yeah, I've got Roosters winning. But
all right. So the last game of the round, the most important game of the round, some people would say, the Gold Coast Titans beat the Parramatta Eels.
God, I want to beat Para. We haven't beat Para in ages. I don't think we beat Para since 2017.
That's like us for the Roosters. We just never beat them.
It's been a while, and yeah, it's frustrating. I think it'll continue. I think Para's going to win. They've got Madison coming back. I think their bench is too strong for us. So yeah, I'm not...
No Brimson either for you guys.
No Brimson. It's kind of weird because Campbell is so good as well. Like, I feel like... Yeah, it's just odd, but I think I don't think we'll lose a ton there. I think at fullback we have a gun player.
I think there'll be too much for you guys on this occasion, because like they just put the shoulders through the Knights, didn't they? And I think if they play like that with that kind of tempo, I think they'll win.
The Knights were bad though. The Knights were
awful. Yeah, like I'm sure you guys will play well, but. Oh, I don't know. I could see an upset here.
The Titans are such a hard team to tip, I swear.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be boring here.
Yeah, I am too. I can't see us winning this one, to be honest. I think they have the wall over us at the moment, Paran. It'll take a while for us to figure out how to beat them. I don't think we're there yet. Just a shout out to Khan Pereira, though. At the beginning of the season, I was thinking he was not ready for first grade, but he's actually been so good over the last month. I think he's such a gun, and I think over the next few seasons, he could really turn into one of the form wingers of the comp. It's difficult to with wingers. They can often burst onto the scene and then sort of plateau, but he has all the weapons to become one of the best wingers in the comp.
Yeah, I mean... I feel like the thing you look for in wingers as well is their yardage. And he looks like he's good with the ball in hand
He's small, so he often hits the defender and sort of gets dragged back a little bit or hits the ground straight away. But he'll learn how to try and squeeze through.
I thought he did pretty well, coming out of his own end against Manly. I'm just looking up his stats now. So, yeah. So, 14 head-ups for 155 metres. 14 runs, sorry. So, that's pretty good.
That is good, yeah. I want to see him in open space. I want to see how quick he actually is, because you can tell in over 10, 20 metres that he's quick, but I want to see him in one of those chase down situations.
Hopefully not getting chased down, but...
Oh, yeah, hopefully not.
All right, I think that's up for another week of the Tragic Rugby League Report. Thanks, Rutkin, for joining me.
No problem. It's always easy to do the pod after a win.
It is, yeah. So,
better.
As you can imagine, I've been struggling for a very long time to do the pod.
Oh my goodness, yeah. But we did it. Here we are.
Yeah, so hopefully next week. We can get Zach.
Book the grand final tickets for the Titans and the Tigers now.
I think so, yeah. Could you imagine, like, if we were in a grand final against each other? I honestly reckon if I lost, I would just need to punch you in the face just to get over it.
I was going to say we'd need a good month to not talk, but yeah, the face punch worked pretty well.
Yeah.
rest confident, mate. I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have to worry about that scenario. I think we're probably going to...
You know what's weird? Like, I do think both of our teams will win a comp in our lifetimes, at least one. And by the time that one of our team is good, the other could be good too. Like, could very well be the Tigers that we match up with.
So, like, the average age of, like, the average life expectancy of someone is, I think, is it 82?
Yeah.
Australia. So, 82, we are 25. So, that means we have 57 more seasons, assuming that both teams are in the comp to see a premiership. So, not bad odds, but...
Remember, I'm living till I'm 200 as well, so I've got a little bit of an extra...
Yeah, you do have a deal with the devil. I forgot about that.
I made it as I exited the womb.
Yeah.
That was it. I just had to piss everyone off and I could live till I was 200.
Yeah. Just have to piss off all your friends on at least a daily basis and, like, make sure Sean never actually gets a girlfriend.
Yeah. Mate, his looks do that for himself. Shout out to Sean. Love you.
Love you, Sean. All right. Thanks, Rutkin. And up the Tigers.
Up the Titans.